Please take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Acts. Acts, the seventh chapter. We're continuing the message that Stephen proclaimed and preached. And there is so much here. I've enjoyed, as I was sitting up at the hospital this past week, to sit and to continue to study. Got several hours of studying in while I was patiently waiting and taking care of things that was necessary. But Acts chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading with the 38th verse, and we got down through 39, and so please that we'll begin with verse 37, Acts chapter 7, verse 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, and not what is become of him. They made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God, Rephram, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, whom found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwell not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is my place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. We're going to stop with that verse 51 and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for this wonderful message that you led Stephen to preach unto the Sanhedrin, and to teach them, to show them that their ways were wrong, and the ways of the Lord Jesus was prophesied through all the years, to told of the Messiah that was coming, and this Jesus is the Messiah, and yet they missed it. And so, Father, please, that we continue to preach the truth each and every day. We do not veer from it. We stand upon it and just ask you, Father, for your strength and wisdom and will to walk each day with you. Now please guide and lead us through this, and those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that today salvation would come to them, that they would be born again. And Father, those that have been saved, born again, that we can walk each day fellowshipping and enjoying your presence and your power and the wisdom that you give us. So please, make us good witnesses for you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Many verses of Scripture here. I'm not sure today how far that we will find ourselves, but as we look down through this seventh chapter and you know, we can just kind of glance through, and I hope that you've marked some areas here, because we look at Abraham as Abraham has come out of Ur of Chaldees, and that's the beginning of the seventh chapter. And then we find that the covenant of circumcision was given to Abraham in verse 8. And then as the patriarchs were born, the 12 sons to Isaac, to Jacob. We have Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob and then the 12 sons. And we know that they went down into Egypt. And Stephen has covered all these things as we have looked through them the last couple of weeks. And so we find then that Pharaoh found favor in Joseph, one of the sons, and it gave an opportunity for the family of Jacob's to come down into the land of Egypt and to be there for about 430 years. And then we're finding that God has brought this man named Moses out to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And so as we look, and that's about to the place that we find ourselves here in verse 36, 37, and 38. And so as we look at this, and you find, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago when we were here, that was the church of the wilderness. And you could change that because the church is what we have today. God has blessed us. Any person that is born again, that has been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus, is a member of the church. This would be better referenced maybe if it was congregation, that was in the congregation of the wilderness, because it was a gathering of the people, and we find them at Mount Sinai in verse 38. And so again, this is he that is in the church of the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles give unto us. So they received the word of God. And who gave the word of God? This Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, is the one that has given it to him. And so Stephen here is introducing Jesus to the people and said, he was here. He spoke to Moses. He gave Moses the direction. He was the one that, with the Shekinah glory cloud, that led him all the way through the wilderness. That's the same Jesus. And so about halfway through this message, Stephen stops long enough to bring together the Lord Jesus. Why does he have to do that? Because the Sanhedrin were the ones that were behind the arrest and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And so they have actually put to death the Messiah. And Stephen here is to bring forward out of their word, out of the word of God, to explain to them that this Messiah, this Jesus that you crucified, is the one that all the prophets have spoken about. And you should know that. And that's the purpose of all this. And this survey of the Old Testament from Abraham all the way to the Lord Jesus. And actually, he stops at Solomon here in the temple at Solomon and explains then that the temple that we have today is not built with hands. And so all these things, we go from Abraham to Solomon. And it's the purpose is because the Sanhedrin, they understand more than any those first five books of the Scripture, which is the law. And then we have the prophets, and then we have the Psalms. And so, and he is speaking here, and he makes mention many times about the prophets. They know the law, they know the prophets. And so we find ourselves now with the gathering of the congregation at Mount Sinai. But the problem is that in verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. We love the study, and we've got probably one more week, and with the study of our Constitution in the Sunday school class, and then we'll begin the study in the book of Exodus. And we will be going through in Exodus a wonderful study concerning the tabernacle and its purpose. Because in the Old Testament, there really is never a better picture of the Lord Jesus himself and salvation than we have in the tabernacle. And so as Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and that's where we're at right here in this text that Stephen's talking about. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai, you ask most folks, what did Moses receive on Mount Sinai? And they will tell you very clearly and very quickly, usually, the Ten Commandments. And you ask them, well, how about the tabernacle? Did they receive the plans to the tabernacle up on Mount Sinai? And they will say, don't know. Don't know. And then what is the tabernacle? Isn't it sad that the devil has so worked the Word of God that he has brought forward the law, and the law condemns and kills? The tabernacle is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it gives life. But you never hear about it. You never hear anyone to teach it. And I've shared with you that I get many opportunities, and if someone wonders about the gospel and wonders about the Lord Jesus, there is a beautiful way to tell them, and that is through the tabernacle. I've done it on scratch paper. I've done it on the dirt on the hood of a pickup truck. And it was my pickup truck. That's the reason you'll notice I never wash my truck, because you may always need to have a place where you can draw out that tabernacle. Do it on the hood of your truck. If you wash your truck, that is gone. You'll have to just leave your vehicle dirty so that you can do that. You begin and you walk through at the brazen altar and then the brazen laver and on into the holy place and the holy of holies. Wonderful, beautiful picture. We're going to begin studying that here very shortly. Well, Moses was up on Mount Sinai. He was receiving that. But the problem is, the opportunity that the tabernacle brings is it gives you the perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has done for us, how he has done it, how he brings us and enables us to go right to the Father because of his offering upon the cross as he died upon the cross. What a wonderful picture that we have, and yet most folks do not understand that. And so they were given the lively oracles to give unto us. We were to get the Word of God and to enjoy the Word of God. And again in verse 39 it says, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron. Now remember, Aaron was Moses' brother. And so they said to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. He's been gone for 40 days. He's not coming back. So build us this golden calf so we can worship. Now, where did they learn such a way of worship? Of course, in Egypt. They learned that in Egypt. And so we find that, you know, God led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, not because they had bowed down and was serving the true God, Jehovah. It was because God's timing was there. God knew what time he was going to bring that nation out of the land of Israel. Bring them right across the Red Sea on dry land, right to Mount Sinai, to receive this beautiful plans to this tent-like building called the tabernacle that would be for the first time a place where the people could meet with God. God would meet with the people and the people meet with God. And that was through the high priest of Aaron. Well, here we find Aaron participates and makes this golden calf. And so in verse 41, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices unto idols and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Most religions today are the works of your own hands. It is not from God's plan and God's way. The tabernacle was to be built a specific way. Moses was given all the directions. God laid upon the hearts of certain individuals, certain men that had talents to build the furnishings and the tabernacle itself. And God performed this beautiful miracle of building this building, where it was a place where God could come down from the heavens and meet with the people. But instead of that, why, the people did not wait. They decided to do something on their own, which was very common in Egypt. Everything was the works of their hands. If you wanted a god, you built a god, and you bowed down to that god. And so that's the purpose, again, that Stephen is doing with the Sanhedrin, these religious folks, is to remind them that, and this takes us forwards probably two more weeks before we get there, but it takes you forward to the place that what is going on is that the Sanhedrin is doing exactly what their fathers did. They are worshiping things with their hands, something that's man-made. It's not God's way and it's not God's plan. Stephen is proving that. He is bringing forwards all these times and all these opportunities that they had to lay down their works and serve the living God. Instead of that, they chose to serve their works with their hands. And it gets worse than that, because in Exodus 32:6, it says they sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And that was during the time when Moses was up on Mount Sinai. Instead of being in prayer and seeing the smoke and the fire up on the mount and praying unto the God Jehovah that Moses was up seeing and fellowshipping with and getting these perfect plans, instead of that, why, they decided to party. They started to do things that they wanted to do. Exodus 32:18. It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, but the noise of them that sing. And that word mastery is victory and might and power. And the noise and the sound that was coming up to Moses and up to God in Mount Sinai was not sounds of victory and might and strength, but it was the sounds of sing. And the word sing there means to hurt and to ravish. And so what Moses was hearing, what God was hearing from Mount Sinai, was words of a horrible party. And the idolatry is always of the devil. It's his way, and he has to get you, he has to get me, to worship something other than the true God Jehovah. And to do that, all we have to do is put something in front of God, something we enjoy doing. Maybe it's something that we would rather do. I'm going to go and, you know, this is deer season, you know. We've got, you know, trucks running up and down the road, and they've got to get that buck. I was telling Skyler when we were heading to church this morning that it was about a quarter mile away, and it was in back of one of those vehicles that's got the four-wheel drive and the little bed behind it. Used to be called them a Gator and John Deere, but I don't know what the thing. That rack was so big that I couldn't see the deer, but I could see the rack. Quarter mile away. Now, but that was yesterday. All right, that's fine. I hope they're in church this morning. But you know what? I bet they're back out there again, because they've got to get one bigger and get one better and take care of it. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with those activities. But what's wrong is that when it becomes a priority that is over and beyond us praising and serving God. Does it hurt you? Are you going to go straight to hell because you miss one Sunday morning at church? No. We're not under the law. But where do you want to be? What's your heart? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in the house of God? Sometimes you can't be. but do you want to be here? And that's the difference here. And these people, they begin very quickly, and they gathered Aaron, and they said, help us build this golden statue that we can bow down to. It. Well, right away, you've left Jehovah, and you've went to that statue. And so now there is another God that has taken our God's place. And that should never, never happen. God warns against idolatry and the worship of false gods, and we find that in Joshua chapter 24, verse 20. And so Joshua chapter 24, verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He has given you all the blessings. He has given you all these wonderful things. And yet you turn and you begin to serve other gods. And we maybe have not built a golden statue that we go and bow down to and in our quiet secret place. But if we have taken something in this life and we have put it before God, we have a love for it greater than we have a love for God, you are an idolater. You are enjoying, and your heart is wrong, because you must turn from those false gods. It may not be a statue. It may be something that you just love to do, and it takes priority in your life. If you do that, then please ask the Lord to forgive you, because you need to come before a righteous God, the creator of the world, and walk each and every day with him. It wasn't enough, and Stephen makes this so clear. That golden calf wasn't enough, something that they could do with their hands. Let's look at verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. Well, you'd think off just to read that only, think, what's wrong with that? Where's our God? He's in heaven. It's not talking about God. It's talking the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's what that's talking about. And you see, those folks from the Sanhedrin, they knew that. They knew that their fathers not only worshiped the golden calf, but they also were worshipers of the stars, of God's creation. Isn't that so sad? Of course, anything that we worship and put first before God, God has given us. And so we are worshiping the creation, not the creator. And we need to see that we stop that. The golden calf, something they built with their hands, this idol, did not satisfy them. It wasn't enough. They longed for something higher, some gods that beyond what their hands could make. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. We're going to be down in these first five books of Moses quite a bit, so you may just keep your hand down there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. That's what they're talking about here. That's what Stephen's talking about here. The host of heaven, he's talking about the worship of stars and the moon and the sun. And you'll find in especially areas that are so desolate that never a missionary has found their way, they know there's something missing. And you'll find that they're bowing down and worshiping the sun, or they're worshiping some statue. It's a void that's in there that must be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again. God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, this verse 42 tells us. God warns them against such idolatry. And he warns them plainly. He warns them in, and he speaks very clearly to them, written in the books and the prophets, the book of the prophets. Now, they knew exactly who that was. Again, we know that the law is the first five books. Now, the prophets, how about Joshua and Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets? That would be the list of the prophets that they were that it speaks of here, written in the books, a book of the prophets. And so we have the law and we have the prophets. And those two are what we're speaking of here and using. And yet the Israelites paid no heed. They paid no attention to this. None whatsoever. Now, did Stephen, when he was making reference to these things, and we're just going to touch a couple more items here and then we'll go on and begin next week. But Stephen spoke of the book of the prophets, and they understood, the Sanhedrin that he was speaking to, understood what he was saying. And we begin with some quotes here and some things that have taken place. And in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 17, that was written back in 721 B.C. And in Jeremiah 19:13, it was written in 605 B.C., and then in Zephaniah 1:5 was written in 630 B.C. And each one of these, and we're going to cover them next week, because Hoshea, the king of Israel, he served for 9 years. And he went under captivity to the Assyrian king. And when that took place, they went up to Assyria. Why did that happen? It happened because they were idol worshipers. Who did they worship? We'll find that down in verse 43, the tabernacle of Molech and of the god of Rimphon in verse 43. And we're going to talk about who those gods are, and they kept bowing down to them. They kept serving them, and God would rebuke them. God took them out of their land because they served these gods, and yet they continued to do so. And we find it today, many times, that people refuse to come by simple faith. They would rather have a religion that's something they've built with their hands. They have taken parts of the Word of God and then compromised it with their own emotions, their own feelings, and they have built themselves a religion that is by works. You must be baptized to be saved. You must join this church to be saved. When you're looking at those things, that is things that's built with hands. God saves. We're saved by grace and grace alone. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You accept Him by faith that He died on the cross to save you, and you are saved. And there's so few today in the religions that we have, very few, that believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, if there's nothing you can do by the works of your hands to save yourself, what do you think you can do to do something to keep your salvation? Not a single thing. God saves us by faith, believing He is God and He is our Savior, and He also keeps us through eternity. You only need to be born again once. Born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. Please trust in the Lord Jesus. This message that Stephen is proclaiming, he just keeps coming back and keeps proving his fact that your fathers have done this, they have worshipped these gods, and you're doing the same thing. That's his purpose. You worship them, and how many times in the Word of God it says, please, don't serve the God of your fathers? Well, I'm a perfect example of that. If I would have served the God of my fathers, I would not be born again today. I had to come out of that. Stephen is asking this Sanhedrin to do the same. But we all know, because we've already read In verse 54, it says, "And when they heard these things, we were cut to the heart." Well, that's wonderful. That's what should have happened. Their heart should have been convicted, and then they should have fallen on their face and accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Instead of that, we know that shortly after this, they took Stephen out and stoned him to death for what he said. Stoned him to death. And so please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start here with the Israelites not taking any heed in this 42nd verse, and we'll begin there next week. And so please, don't miss as we look at Hoshea, the king of Israel, evil king, wicked king. We know that because there was never a good king in the northern kingdom, and he's one of the evil kings. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your house and enjoy this time of fellowship and just continue to guide and lead us each and every day, Lord. I hope, Father, that there's no one here that has accepted these religious ways of baptism is for salvation, or to join a certain church is salvation, or to take the Lord's Supper, as we're going to do in a few minutes, is has something to do with salvation. It has everything to do with obedience, but nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift handed to us by you, dear Father, through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Spirit of God convicts our heart, and we have a decision to make. That same Spirit convicted the hearts of the members of this Sanhedrin, but instead of repenting and turning to you, they went the opposite way. Please today let no one turn the same direction that the Sanhedrin turned, but they would come today and trust you as their Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.